Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. This is Stephen Medun.
And this is Jeff Ellis. And it is Tuesday, September 18th, 2012.
Episode 8.18, the Week 2 Recap Show.
Yes, sirree. We're going to take you through all of the Thursday this year, Sunday games, Sunday night games, and the Monday Peyton Manning fiasco where he tried to copy his little brother. And he came up short.
Jeffrey, were you ready for all the upsets from week two?
You know, so I went 10-6 on my picks,
yes,
which is above average for this week. Most people went 8-8 this week on
Are
their
you
picks.
Sure you went 10-6?
Yes, I went 10-6.
Even with losing last night?
Even with losing the challenge game last night and making you the smartest man alive,
yeah, we'll get to that.
I want to give you everything I can when I can, because I don't give you much.
We've got lots to talk about, so we're going to be good, and we're going to give each team each game, hopefully, equal amount of time, but
we're putting ourselves on the clock.
We've got some sad news, and we've got a good old boy, and so we'll
and
get
Gostocki.
To. Well, of course, the Economopolis Tuesday. Bringing American football to the world, it's Stephen Miranda and Jeff Ellis with NFL Rants and Raves.
That's why there's two of us, because Stephen hit his button and nothing happened. And so I immediately went over and hit my button and something happened.
We had the wrong cable.
But you know what?
That's
the fun of podcasting, dude, is that we stand in the gulf between Joe average guy and professional.
That's
we
true.
Stand in the gap.
We're in the middle.
We stand in the gap proudly
and
for
it's
you.
It's funny. I actually got to be privy to hearing a recording, a pre-recording yesterday of Brian and Jill podcast. The Brian and Jill podcast.
Oh,
you know,
nice. Brian Thompson Mark and Brian, of Mark and Brian fame.
Who used to be Vicky on the Love
Comedian,
Boat.
Yes. Vicky on the
Love Boat. Okay. So they're doing a podcast now. And
I didn't know that's who it was.
From North Carolina. Yes. And from time to time, they get some people to talk NFL for them. And I'm going to try and be one of those guys for them.
Why not me, since I actually listened to the show back in the day?
Okay. Well, my wife got me hooked.
Yes, she did.
So. And she's the one who's kind of been shepherding the meat. She's trying to get me work, dog. I need to make some money, right? Okay, so anyways. So I'm on the phone listening to them record their
Steven's
podcast.
Steven's done panhandling. Let's just be clear about that. He is tired of being on the corner and that guy. Because mostly he can't live the lie that says, you know, I'm a veteran. He feels disingenuous
Stop lying. All right, but anyways, I'm on the phone and I get to listen. And they start and stop. They are back to, because it's their first season, they're back to our first season where we used to start and stop and edit and all of that
stuff.
So we stuff.
Go bleep and then, oh gee, yeah, you gotta go back and fix that.
You know, we probably really shouldn't say that, and you know what, that's probably gonna offend somebody. Let's take that out. And I'm listening to them like, oh my god, this is me and Jeff laying on the bed
talking into the single microphone.
So fortunately for them, though, they've got a producer and a screener
and
someone editing, and so they've got like a full staff. So good for Brian and Jill there.
Mark.
And I'm sorry, Mark. No.
Mark Thompson is doing it.
No, Brian.
Brian is doing it with
Mark's
Jill.
Mark's the one who's done. Mark.
He's doing it with Linda, his wife.
He's doing a podcast with his wife.
Of course he is. Everyone's podcast. Did you have time for Monday Morning Quarterback this week?
No.
Peter King's column. Okay. Peter King says he was blown away at the reach of his podcast.
Really?
He's like, I'm getting texts and tweets, which Steve and I have gotten for 8 years, by the way, from all over the world, from six different countries.
Six?
Six different countries, Peter.
Try 54, Peter.
Yeah, try 54. And that is who he's reaching, probably.
Right.
He just doesn't know it because they haven't communicated back to him.
Yeah.
But he's realizing the power of the podcast that, look, most of us in America take this for granted that we've got NFL Network 24-7. We've got SiriusXM 24-7. We've got NBC Sports, CBS Sports, ESPN.
NBC Sports.
And the Deuce. And we've got all these people shoving NFL content down our throat constantly.
And the Ocho.
No, the Ocho's not out yet.
All right.
But CNN is obviously out there with Ocho CNN. Cinco Network.
Yes. So anyways, all that to say that you know, we do some things on our podcast that, you know, we don't do on radio. And we're on radio now. We're on the largest
sports radio station in the world. I don't know how they do that math. Because it's on SiriusXM 207.
Yes.
And apparently it's on in Australia.
Right.
Therefore, it's the largest in the world, talk sport radio. I'm not going to sit there
and complain.
We're global,
baby. Let's just say we're global.
We've been global before. Stephen, we're so progressive that we're almost regressive.
Oh, okay.
Okay, people are just caught up to us, and we're going to go backwards.
Oh,
because
gosh.
You know what? We're going back old school. We're going back to terrestrial radio.
Yes.
Because we started this podcast nonsense a decade ago. And that being said, let's stop talking about ourselves.
Okay, we are. But before
I hear people just like, would you guys stop talking about yourself? Okay.
Before we move on, we have to share some sad news. President of NFL Films, Steve Sable, has passed away this morning of brain cancer. He was 69 years old.
69 years young, if you ask me. We saw Steve last at the Super Bowl where he was preparing to he was talking about getting ready to induct his father at the Hall of Fame.
Ed Sable.
Actually, that was in 2011 that he inducted his father in the Hall of Fame.
That was at Cowboys.
At the JW Marriott in Dallas, where we talked to
Steve.
The JW
was in Indianapolis.
Was it? Yes. Where were we?
It was a Marriott. It was just a Marriott.
Oh, it was just a Marriott. I'm sorry. Yeah. And no, Steve Sable, honestly, to me, was the ultimate fan. You know what? I think I have a thing of Ed Sable. Here it is. Here's Ed Sable asking Howard Cosell a question, or Howard Cosell talking about Ed Sable.
Okay. At the draft this morning.
I find it a rather tedious bore, Ed.
Uh-huh.
Hard to describe one's reaction to men spending the utter limit of 15 minutes on draft selections when they've had an entire year. Multi-thousands of dollars, as you know, expended on scouting, computerized systems. And yet if somebody takes a player before somebody else, there has to be a sudden, complete revision, apparently, in someone's thinking. It's utterly absurd. And a manifestation of inefficiency inconsistent with the kind of efficiency that you have brought to professional football with your own operation, NFL Films.
Well, thank you. That's very kind. Jack, do you concur in Mr. Cosell's statement?
Yes.
Yes. Ed Sable, great interviewer. I mean, and Steve, I thought, was an even better interviewer than his father was.
And Steve, most know him as synonymous with the voice of NFL Films, who would usually narrate.
After the passing of the voice of NFL Films.
So Steve Sable, just, you know,
what he and his dad did, which, again, to remind people who are newer to the sport, he and his dad would go around to Boy Scout meetings and hang a sheet and pull out a projector and show movies, basically, that they got permission from a fledgling National Football League to show kind of on the field, slow motion footage and things like that with a great soundtrack and great narration. And you do that with John Facenda's voice. This is football. And they would go from Boy Scout troops to lodge meetings and things like that because they love the game and they wanted to share their passion with the game with other people. And they knew they were onto a crazy business idea, but they knew, they believed that what they had to do and how they were going to do it was unlike anything anyone had seen. And for those of us in the United States fortunate enough to grow up and be weaned on NFL Films, it has been the biggest influence in bringing me to NFL passion was the work of NFL Films.
Well, we're going to mourn his loss in the NFL world, and you know, our condolences and sympathies out to the Sable family. And I just have to say, I'm very happy for Steve that he was able to live long enough to see his father Ed get inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame. He was so proud. One of the articles that Peter King wrote last year when Steve Sable was diagnosed with the brain tumor. He said that Steve didn't know what was going to happen to him. He didn't know how long he had. But the only question he kept asking his doctors is, will I make it long enough till August when the induction
for
is?
For Canton.
You know, and the doctor said, yeah, you should.
We don't see any reason why not.
And he made it, and that's good. And so Goodbye, Steve Sable. And, you know, I guess the best thing we can do to honor him is continue watching NFL films.
And to talk about football and to do what he did, which is set out to try and bring it to an entirely new audience.
Right. Right. We're going to move on now. And unfortunately, sometimes you have to follow sad stuff with a little goofy stuff. And that's why we bring you.
Just a good old boy.
He's never meaning no harm. You know
yeah,
who we talk about.
He's all you ever saw, been in trouble with the law since the day he was born.
How happy was he with beating Denver Broncos last night? We're talking about the burner.
Atlanta Falcons running back.
The burner's supposed to be a nickname.
Michael Turner arrested on DUI and speeding charges.
It's supposed to be a nickname.
Now, here's the deal, Jeffrey. Because the game took so long.
It did.
Due to officiating.
It did. That was the longest regular game that I've ever seen.
He wasn't released until 5 a.m. from jail. I mean, so I don't know exactly. Was it around 2 a.m.? I guess it was the magic.
Okay, so
3
the game. The game finished at 9:10 p.m. our time. So Eastern time, that was 12:10
a.m. Yeah, yeah.
And you figure, you know how we've been there. So he would have had to have sit at his locker, change, shower, have the little team meet afterwards, and then take his food and go. He's out of the building by, I say, 1:30.
Okay.
Do you agree generally with the timeline? That about an hour to take a
hour.
Shower and get in the car. So maybe 1:15.
Yeah.
1:15, so first stop is a bar. And you know what? You're happy. Dude, you are 2-0. You're one of the few 2-0 teams in the National Football League. And so you stop at an adult establishment with your Audi R8 on Interstate 85.
Here's the citation. Driving 97 miles per hour in a 65 mile per hour zone.
Now, I've done that, okay? So let me say that doing that is not crazy.
Okay.
With one caveat.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not necessarily safe, period.
Yes, but it's certainly not safe.
It's certainly not safe if you're drunk.
When you're under the influence. The officer said he could smell
the odor of alcoholic beverage.
The Atlanta Falcons have said since this is now a legal matter, we are not going to comment on it anymore.
Plus, they it's embarrassing, so we'd rather not.
Yeah, they are aware of the situation. However, but here's the thing, and I hate to sound like a broken record, Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Hire a driver. That's all you need to do. You are Michael Turner. The Atlanta Falcons pay you millions of dollars.
His salary is probably, I would guess, in the 4 to 5 million minimum range per year.
Right in there.
A little conservative, but that's right around where his salary is.
And
you're 30 years old. You have got the bling. You want to go out and have a drink. I respect that.
You know what?
I respect that.
Hire a... it doesn't even have to be a professional driver. Hire a buddy. Hey, you're my buddy. Tonight, will you do me a favor? Don't get drunk. Don't have any alcoholic beverages, because I'm going to need you to drive tonight.
You know, I was hoping to have a beer or three tonight.
No, please. I need you to be cool. Hey, look, I'll give you $200. Do not drink.
You know what, though? Our bar tab, seriously, is going to be about $350, so that $200, Mike, come on.
$500. $500. I'll give you $500 to just hang out and not drink tonight and drive me home at the end of the party.
And your Rolex.
All right. I'll get another one for free.
My thing is, you can't find the bartender? Dude, here's a grand.
Yeah.
Take me home, please.
Yeah.
You know when you've had too much to drink.
Anybody.
And plus, the NFL outfits all you guys with phone numbers that you can call 24/7, 365, and they will send somebody. They're like the freaking CIA.
Yes, and for everybody
they
says,
will drop in there.
I don't want the league and my team to know what I'm doing. And
they are
call.
Actually sworn to anonymity.
Thank you.
Thank you. So you know what? You can make the right decision all the time. This is like, I'm going to preach just a second, Stephen. Had a conversation with someone who may or may not have been my daughter about, let's say, promiscuous young people, okay?
Okay.
And the bottom line is, honey, this is a decision that people need to make before they get into that environment.
Yes.
If you have not made a decision on what you're going to do with your body in a more active sexually sense, before you get into that environment, you will make a choice that you will likely regret.
You're in trouble.
With drinking, you don't have two drinks and then decide, you know what, I better find myself a driver. No, I'm going to a bar. I'm going to make sure I have the flexibility to do whatever the hell I want. So I'm going to call somebody.
All I have to say is that my high school buddies, for as much alcohol as they consumed, they were always smart enough to invite me.
And they paid you.
And they paid me. And I was on the dance floor
Steven
all night
long.
Steven
lives on the border of Juarez, Mexico.
What they brought me on the dance floor. I never had to leave the dance
they
floor.
They brought you
because
Pepsis.
Because they brought me a Pepsi and I would just drink it.
And because they're
and
Juarez.
I was happy.
If that place sells Coke,
Pepsi
they go next door and get a Pepsi because it's Steven.
Yeah. They brought me Pepsi for they bought Pepsi for a quarter. And they just fed
in
me
a
Pepsi.
Glass bottle. It wasn't in a glass bottle.
Glass bottle.
I love Mexico.
And you know what? And guess who drove them home at the end of the night?
Exactly.
Sober Steven.
And cleaned up the puke from the back seat.
No, I didn't do that. But I did make sure that we went to the hamburger hut at the corner of Yarbrough and Yermaland, and we got either some noodle or a burger or some fries or something to get in our
stomach. Get in that stomach.
And then I made sure everybody got home safe.
And what did they pay you?
Nothing.
No, they paid you something. They paid you like
well,
for the service.
Well, they paid me food.
It was like $5 a person, wasn't it?
No,
I thought it was a real service.
I should have charged. Now thinking back on it, I should have charged people.
But I
didn't have to pay for anything. I didn't have to pay for
gas was less than a dollar a gallon
exactly.
Back then. Okay,
but I didn't have to pay. I didn't have to pay my interest to the club. I didn't have to pay for any drinks. I didn't have to pay for any food.
And you're having fun.
And I had a blast.
Yeah.
And all I had to do was drive
and
make sure that. Yeah, and make sure that nobody was doing anything stupid in Mexico.
That's brilliant.
And I always had the $20 in the bottom of my foot. You know, in my sock,
yes.
To make sure that
Federales,
you know,
Federales,
I'm a Federale, man. So that's
okay.
That's all I want from Michael
Steven,
Turner.
Steven, you and I have been out drinking
NFL.
Several times.
Yes.
When I'm out drinking with my wife, do I monitor how much she's had?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know why? Because she likes to have a drink, too.
And you know what, Trisha, the first thing she asked me is like, are you thinking of having a shot tonight?
Exactly.
Like, and I'm like, no, sweetie. And
we
she's
sat
like,
down
great.
At Longboards.
And she knows
yes.
I will drive then.
Yes.
She can have a margarita or
we
whatever.
We sat at Longboards in Santa Barbara, walking distance from our hotel, the night after we checked Jordan in at school.
Yeah.
In Santa Barbara. And we sat with this other family couple that we're old friends with. And we were going to have drinks. And it was just, we went around the table. Who's staying sober?
Right.
Who's staying sober? And it was kind of a fun game because the other gal that I was with of the couple, she says, it ain't going to be me.
Well, there you go. So now
like,
we're losing the other three. All right.
And it was, you know, and then the three of us looked at each other and Didi's like, I'll be good with one drink. I'm like, okay, well, it ain't going to be me. That's how responsible people handle their business.
So here's the mugshot of Michael Turner at the Gwinnett County Sheriff Department.
Yes, it is Gwinnett County. Stephen didn't mispronounce anything. Gwinnett.
Gwinnett. Yes.
Gwinnett.
Good luck to Michael Turner. You have such a great game. You scored a touchdown.
He had that great a game.
Oh, okay.
He was limited, but he did score a touchdown. To me,
scored.
My first thought, Stephen, was, is he that depressed about his performance right now?
Yeah, well, maybe.
I've been looking for the burner to show up, and I hope that this is not a sign of bigger problems going on elsewhere. Because
there is no burner time
Atlanta. No burning
but
out
that,
in the Audi
that's
8.
All we're going to get to because right now it's time to get to the game.
Now,
and I hope you have the sheet.
I have the sheet, and I am confident of my picks, Stephen, that I only missed six games this week, and only, I say, with some embarrassment because when there is this many games, I like to do a lot better, and I expect a lot more of myself. And I am, frankly, disappointed that I bought into the Kool-Aid of the Miami Dolphins. I should have thought about, what do I think of this Oakland Raiders team traveling 3,000 miles, playing in the heat, and what do I think? I think that Miami probably should have handled their business, and lo and behold, they did. So that's one of the ones where I should have known. Nobody could have known that the Arizona Cardinals. Nobody knew that. So that's all good. We don't hold that over ourselves and kick ourselves about that.
Oh, that's right. You wound up changing to the Panthers. That's why you didn't miss that one.
Exactly. Steven, and you know what? I was very confident about that. As I put on my Cam Newton jersey, I just felt like I was sucking mojo out of him.
Yeah.
By rolling with the other team there. So here we are. We'll start off with Packers hosting the Bears on Thursday night football in the Little Blue Man.
I took
a poll of the people at Buffalo Wild Wings,
yes,
where I watch games on Sunday, and only person who didn't hate him was the woman next to me who hadn't seen him before. Okay, so that being said, I'm losing this battle. In NFL Network, you need to find a new ad campaign for Thursday night football, which is seriously fun, but I love the little Panther.
I tell you what. But I'm just about done.
That dude needs to come have drinks with me.
In my household, we flick the channel. We don't care what we flick the channel to. If that commercial comes on, everybody in the household, including Emma, the 5-year-old,
you brainwashed her.
Change it.
You brainwashed her.
He's just annoying, and we want to kick him in the nards. That's what we want to do.
He cracks me up. There's only a couple of us, and I want to take him out for drinks.
Thursday Bears night football, Packers. Chicago Bears
Stop
going
Bears.
To Green Bay. Jay Cutler looked bad, and I don't care how bad your offensive line is doing. If you have a problem with somebody on your team, you wait till you go into the locker room and you discuss it. At that point, you can cuss them out all you want.
You can throw a punch, bro.
You do not.
On the field.
Do it.
On the sideline.
On the sideline of the football field where you're cussing out somebody for what? Because the way he was playing,
he's responsible for
your
interceptions.
Four interceptions? Really?
Yeah, not so
much. If anybody should have been yelling at anybody, they should have been yelling at Cutler.
Well, he was busy pulling up his socks, Steven. My favorite activity of Jay Cutler is him pulling up his socks after he throws an interception, acting like no big deal. I don't care. It ain't no thing. But the Green Bay Packers, they rattled and robbed Jay Cutler while Aaron Rodgers sputtered against the Chicago Bears defense. Look, Aaron Rodgers, they got to pick this up, dude. Okay, the Bears defense, I respect the heck out of a lot. But they are not firing on nearly all cylinders. They're a 12-cylinder like Jaguar that is firing on 5 cylinders right now.
That is almost the analogy I gave.
Ah! On radio the other night?
Yes.
How funny.
I didn't liken it to a car.
Well, you know, this last night on Talk Sport, I'll keep the story really short. Yeah. It's like some football team, soccer team owner or manager compared somebody's other team to, like, we're like a Ferrari. We're like a Jaguar. We're like this. And so the car thing last night, he asked me about what kind of car my team would be, and it got me thinking about that. So it's funny you'd ask about the cars.
Yeah, so the thing is, though, yes, the Green Bay Packers got back on the winning end of things, but there's something wrong with that offense. That offense last year put up points at will. You could blindfold Aaron Rodgers. He knew where everybody was going to be. And right now...
And what did they have to do to jumpstart the offense? Trick play.
Oh, and miss game.
Tim Mastey.
Yeah, I'm just saying...
Right. But this is how desperate it was for the Packers that they actually had to pull out the crash cart.
The fake field goal.
Clear! Beep!
That didn't really jumpstart the offense. That just gave them a comfortable lead because there was like, well, you know how bad the Cutler and the Bears offense is playing right now. 10 points might be enough.
Yeah.
And as it was, it almost was enough.
Yeah, I must say, the 5.5-point line, sure, they covered it easily and comfortably, but it wasn't pretty.
No.
And Jay Cutler, my take on Jay Cutler for years has been that he's a punk. And I look for reasons to not hate people. I really do. I go way out of my way.
Yeah.
And last season, I went way out of my way to change my perception of Jay Cutler.
Yes.
And we had a private moment, Jay and I
did. You
did. That will stay private. But it did nothing to take away my perception that he's a punk.
But Jeffrey...
But what does that mean, Steven? Honestly, when you go out of your way, because I want to like everybody, I don't want there to be people in the league that I don't
there
like.
There are rotten apples in every barrel.
And it's unfortunate that one of them quarterbacks, a great historic franchise that I love. I love the Bears. I mean,
here's
come
the
on.
Thing.
They're the pride and joy of Illinois.
Chicago Bears, bite down. Real quickly, before we move on, Matt Forte getting injured. That didn't help the offense.
No,
right,
seldom
now
does.
He's out. He only had 7 carries in that game. Michael Bush is going to have to step it up. But Brandon Marshall, 2 catches for 24 yards. That is not going to get
first
it
of all,
done.
Is that on Brandon or is that on him not being targeted in the entire first
you
half?
You got to get open. You got to get it. You got
to look. Jay's thing was, why didn't you get the ball to Brandon? Did you see the film? I mean, oh, Jay just drives me crazy.
Yeah.
Did you see the film? There was 2 guys on him all the time. Brandon Marshall doesn't care if there's 10 guys yeah. on him. He expects you to throw him the ball, and he will make plays. You've got to target him.
Yeah.
You've got to target him. That's all there is to it.
All right. Well,
do you agree with me or not? He is your big guy, the guy they went all in to get.
But you do have to do something to get open, and that touchdown pass, he dropped the touchdown pass in the end zone and hit him right in the hand.
Yeah, when was that was the first ball he had thrown at him.
You know what? You
target him early.
You get paid to catch the ball,
Jeffrey.
You feed
the big dog
and
early.
If it hits you in the hands, catch it.
You feed the big dog early to get him involved in the game. Otherwise, he checks out.
23-10.
That's how diva receivers are.
Real quick, the Green Bay Packers, they're going to have to do something to get Cedric Benson the ball and start getting him to run a little bit better and make a bit better performance there.
Next game for Green Bay will be on a longer week. They're at Seattle, and we won't get Steven started on why you should be concerned about going to Seattle for the Packers. And the Chicago Bears will be home to the St. Louis Rams.
All right, the Kansas City Chiefs travel to Buffalo. And all I have to say to you, Jeffrey, is you're welcome.
For talking me out of the Kansas City Chiefs, because yeah. I saw them and they weren't that bad week one.
Once again, the Chiefs scored 17 points, and 7 of those, garbage time. A touchdown
yeah.
scored under 2 minutes when the game was already no longer in question.
Thank you, Steven, for making it it's possible for me to only miss 6 games this week.
Somebody better take notice of CJ Spiller and how this guy is the backup running back in Buffalo is beyond me. He leads the league right now in rushing.
Hey Fred.
Yeah.
You can take your time on that rehab, Fred. We're good right now.
Take all the time you need.
Fred, you know what? I've heard of a certain European remedy that if you go to The Hague, that they put you through it's a 17-week program. What a coincidence. But that has nothing to do with 17 weeks to heal up properly.
The fact that the Kansas City Chiefs in the first half were scoreless, that just shows you how bad they were. And right before halftime, they march down the field. They get something going. They get all the way to the 1 yard line. Peyton Hillis fumble. And instead of going down in half 21-7, you go down 21-0 because you fumble at the goal line. I don't know what has happened to Peyton Hillis, but he is not the guy from 2 years ago.
Here's how good CJ Spiller is, to pick up on Steven's threat.
How good?
Here's how good he is. His 364 yards from scrimmage in the first 2 games are the 3rd most by a Bills player through 2 games. The only players with more are in the Hall of Fame. They would be Steven.
Thurman Thomas,
thank you.
And O.J. Simpson.
Yes. Okay? That's the company you're keeping, Mr. Man.
Well, and he currently leads the league.
He leads the league in rushing. I understand that. And touchdowns.
And total yards from scrimmage
right.
as well. Yeah.
No.
So,
dude, when you're keeping company with Thurman Thomas and OJ, You're doing something right. You're living right. Keep it up. Matt Cassel.
Well, he's keeping good company on the football field. Let's not say he wants to keep company with OJ. Isn't he incarcerated right now?
OJ's in jail. Yeah, he'd have to get special permission to go see him.
Anyways, the final there, 35-17. Buffalo bounced back in a huge way.
Really nicely from their trouncing at the hands of the Jets. Yeah. What are we to make of this? What are we to make of week one, Steven? We've got how many teams that are 0-2? Three?
Six? I believe it's six.
Six teams.
6-0-2.
Six, 2-0. And 20 is the rest.
1-1.
Never happened in the history of football. Wait, it was 97?
No.
90.
The 20 is the most 1-1 teams after 2 weeks of football ever. The previous record was 18.
Polly, what a cracker? Polly, what a cracker?
Whoa. Polly, what a cracker?
What animal says Polly, what a cracker?
A parrot?
Parody.
Oh, okay.
Parody. Parody has come to the NFL. Polly, what a cracker.
And that's what they've been preaching for forever.
Guess what? If you preach it, you may get it.
Yes.
You just may get it. And congratulations, because no matter what, your team isn't that bad and your team isn't that good. There's nobody. I mean, there's so few.
We'll reiterate what you said last week. You're never as good as your win, and you're never as bad as your loss. Dolphins.
Dolphins.
And the Cleveland Browns bounced back pretty good, too.
They did, and I'm stunned. You look at the division leaders. Peter King went so far as to really.
Where are my division leaders, Jeffrey?
Oh, God,
you're
I have a lot of work to do.
You're supposed to change them? Jeffrey!
I went and turned and coughed.
Yes,
I
went and turned and coughed.
That's why I was late this morning.
They're sitting in my front room, actually.
They're in your front room. Yeah. You didn't bring them back from TV land on Friday.
I didn't.
So Peter King went so far as to jump the shark, if you ask me.
Uh-oh.
He says, basically, the best football being played right now is in the West. Okay,
like
now,
NFC
record-wise, maybe. This was before Monday Night Football. Okay, so he didn't have the hindsight of watching Peyton Manning struggle last night.
Yeah.
But, you know, clearly the 49ers are the best team in the NFL. They ain't got no issue there.
Right.
But the fact Arizona Cardinals are 2-0,
yeah.
So what?
I don't know.
Defense is ferocious.
It is.
Their offense is fearful.
Yeah, had I told you that Fitzgerald will only have one catch for 4 yards.
And the team would be 2-0.
And the team would win in New England. Would you believe me?
No, heavens no. Steve, it's a crazy, crazy season.
All right. Final score, 35-17.
San Diego Chargers are 2-0. Okay.
The Carolina Panthers host the New Orleans Saints.
Nothing would be finer than to be in Carolina for a Panthers football game.
Jeffrey.
I'm so glad I changed my pick to stay with my boys. I mean, it's like if you pick them, you got to pick them.
Yeah. Well, there's clearly something amiss
awry
in New Orleans.
Something right? Really, really wrong?
That defense is atrocious.
They are the worst.
They are the worst defense in the league. 32nd. They're giving up about 460-plus yards per game. And they're giving up about 38 points per game.
It's hard for an offense to keep up with your defense allowing 38 points.
In their two wins, the offense actually, Jeff, outperformed the other team's offense.
Mm.
Statistically.
Well, not hard to do when Drew Brees throws the ball nearly 50 times because he has to.
Yeah.
And just he looked so out of sorts. The defense had him on the ropes.
He kept getting hit.
I know. You know what, Drew? This team is not your sole responsibility, okay? The reason why they use the word team and not guy, this is not, you know, diving. This is not tennis. This is a team sport, Drew. You just accept the fact that you guys aren't going to be very good this year and stay alive.
Pete Rose was a manager and player at the same time, right?
Yes, with the Cincinnati Reds around 1981.
That's kind of what Drew's trying to do
here.
Absolutely.
And he's the manager who's playing.
And it's not working.
Player managers. It don't work.
Yeah.
Why did you guys struggle so much?
Pete Rose was pretty good, though.
Yeah, but the team wasn't that great. When he was playing well,
yeah,
and he was putting together lineups and he was making out his betting forms all simultaneously. That's a hell of a lot of work.
Save the jokes for Kostaki.
I didn't get a beer because I was turning and coughing.
Yeah, you were. All right. Cam Newton obviously back to form. rushing for a touchdown.
71 yards rushing for Cam Newton.
Throwing for
on
a
13
touchdown.
Carries. I said it last week. Cam cannot carry the ball 10-plus times a game on designed runs.
Yes.
He will not stay alive throughout the season.
You actually
he's a
said
young
that
man.
About RG3. That's what you said it about.
Oh, I did say it about RG3.
Yes, you
but
did.
Cam Newton, I wouldn't. Cam's a little bigger.
He's a tree.
He's a tree.
Yeah.
He's a fast Ben Roethlisberger, and that's frightening.
He's a fast tree.
He's one of those trees. He's not the one from The Hobbit, okay? Those trees are so slow, the trees from The Hobbit,
yes.
that I always encourage people, this is a good time to go to the restroom.
Yes.
Because the story just comes to a grinding halt. Okay. Man. So he's a fast tree.
We have decided that you're not orcs.
Thanks.
Okay.
Can we go now? We're trying to save our friends.
So are you going to help us? We're discussing it.
Excellent, Steven.
Oh, gosh. Good stuff, though.
Panthers tackle Jordan Gross.
Let's just give... You know what? I got to give him applause because the Panthers found their running game again. D'Angelo with 69, Stewart with 51, Brandon LaFell ran a reverse for 25 yards, and Cam Newton 71. A week after they only rushed for 10 yards, let's just say they decided we can run the ball, and they did.
I think I dropped Brandon LaFell in all my leagues after week one. Steven, I am a fantasy football car wreck right now.
Yeah.
What, did you look?
No. Well,
don't tell me you looked.
I haven't looked.
Just don't look.
But let me
please.
Tell you, I'm a car wreck. Okay, I have this little caveat, and I'm not sure what's happening here, Jeffrey. My RRN leagues, I'm a train wreck. But
yeah.
My money leagues,
this always happens.
I'm kicking
though.
Some booty right now, though.
This
so,
always happens.
What the hell's going on out here?
I mean, seriously, I am... Steven, there's places I struggle to get 30 points, and I'm like fielding an all-star Pro Bowl team.
Yeah, you would think.
I am. These are guys that have been to multiple Pro Bowls, and I'm reeking.
Nacho sent an email. Holy cow, Steven. Not an email, a tweet. Holy cow, Steven Miranda. What a lousy fantasy football final game score. Maximum balance in league, though, since everybody is 1-1, except, of course, Jeff Ellis, who's 0-2.
Oh, you jerk.
Yeah, I know. He's
did he tweet my name
he
at
did.
Jeff Ellis?
He did, at Jeff Ellis.
I never read that, thank goodness. Totally otherwise, I would have gone suicidal. Hint, hint, Nacho. Okay,
but anyways.
So we're on the 35-27 beatdown of the Panthers.
Well, one
of the Saints by the Panthers.
Before we move on from
yeah.
here, how many games can the New Orleans Saints win?
I said at the beginning of season 8, and I'm questioning that.
All right.
I said this is not a team that can go to the playoffs, and they will be lucky to win 8 games.
Well, I was
it.
Very, very comfortable not having the Saints in the playoffs. But
and people keep wanting to bring them up and go, you know, if you look at the NFC South, you know, there's so much talk about parity because the Saints, you know, they're always good. No, they're not. Not right
you've
now.
You've got 2-0 Atlanta. You've got 1-1 Tampa Bay. You've got 1-1 Carolina. And then the Saints are bringing up the rear.
Yeah.
And I don't see how that changes much.
And look, Tampa Bay is clearly better than last year. Clearly.
Yes.
Carolina, we still don't know. We'll find out. Yeah. I think that they'll be good.
Carolina
but they're going to be playing for a wild card spot.
Tampa Bay was 15 minutes away from being
2-0. Yeah. No, they're
their
a solid
quarter
team.
Was awful.
But
they
that's
played an
what,
awful fourth quarter.
That's what happens when you don't play 60 minutes of football.
Exactly. So, I'm excited. I'm excited. Let's move on. I say move on. 35-27, the final score there. And New Orleans, now, Jeffrey, in their last 7 games in Carolina, they're 3-4, by the way.
Okay, now we have to get to the Browns at the Bengals, Steven. And we're not hit-banging every – these are 10 a.m. games.
We're not. They're still 10 a.m.
You're just button-happy.
No, I'm not. I'm starting the counter clock.
Okay, well, you know what? That's a good thing. Yes, we're trying to be on the clock and
the
run the hurry
Cleveland
up.
Browns.
Yeah, the Orange Helmets.
Let's give. You know what? I'm just giving claps to everybody today. Brandon Whedon, after that awful 5.1 quarterback rating performance,
he nearly quadrupled
from last
week. Steven, seriously, you're gonna start there with you want to give him props, but his quarterback rating was still
awful. He threw for over 300 yards. He hit, well, no, it wasn't.
It wasn't? Okay, you, I thought it was. Yeah, I thought it was.
No, Whedon threw for over 300 yards. He had two picks, no turnovers this time.
Okay, so I was looking at his season rating, 57.6. That 5.1 drags it down a few.
Tremendously. Right, he's like a pitcher, you know, when you give up 9 runs in one
inning. Yeah, and it's early in the season.
It totally messes
105?
Up.
105? That's not very nice. It's true, though.
Anyways. And Trent Richardson, over 100 yards, touchdown. I want to give some props to someone who made my good in the good, bad, and the ugly, Jeffrey, for the Cleveland Browns, DeQuell Jackson. On the defensive side of the ball, who had another interception and actually brought the Cleveland Browns back into this game. Last week, he had a pick of Michael Vick that he returned to for a touchdown. So, and he's harassed Andy Dalton. He sacked him 3 times.
And then on the other side of the ball, I want to talk about Adam Jones. He is looking like he might be a redeemed man.
We can't call him Pac-Man.
I'm not. Although, no matter how much I would love to, because, you know, it's fun to play that.
Well, he didn't die, though. I mean, that return was a thing of beauty.
And that's my point, is he's playing a lot of positions. He seems to be handling his business, and good for Marvin Lewis that he's got another redemption project
working
there.
I'm going to throw out a shout-out to a gentleman who is going to be on the show here within the next couple of weeks. Wide receiver Armon Benz for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Have you been talking to PR directors
again?
He
had 5 catches for 66 yards in this game, and every time Andy Dalton needed a play for a first down, it was looked like he was going Benz's way. So
he has 9 catches on the season, Armon does.
Good for him in 2 games for a guy who comes in as the 3rd wideout. That's not bad.
Where are you at, 85? Doing just fine if your name is Armon Benz. Thank you.
Where are you at, 85? Anyways, we also got to give it up to A.J. Green, who, you know, continues to 7 catches for had a touchdown, continues to be a bright spot there for the Cincinnati Bengals. My only concern for Cincinnati, though, Jeffrey, back-to-back weeks, their defense has given up a lot of points.
They have given up a lot of points, and that historically has been one of the strong suits for the Cincinnati Bengals. And so we've got to wonder what's going on there. I think we're next going to Indianapolis, where I think you might owe someone an apology, Steven.
I don't owe anybody in Indiana.
I know. I'm just
being
facetious.
But the Minnesota Vikings go to Indianapolis to play the Vikings. This is a game that the Minnesota Vikings should never been in, okay?
You picked them.
I know I did.
But they never should have been in then you shouldn't have picked
them. Listen, after watching the game, I picked them to win the game. Right. Yes. But they were horrible for 3 quarters.
Yes.
And then in the 4th quarter, boom, boom, back-to-back touchdowns, and they actually tied the game. Now, the problem with the Minnesota Vikings was I thought their strength, their defense, fell apart.
Yeah, their defense
How do you let somebody, especially a rookie QB, get in field goal position in 20 seconds.
Well,
after your offense,
he channeled his Peyton Manning.
Works their butts off to tie the game and make it 20-20. There's 23 seconds left on the clock. I go to the bathroom thinking, all right, man, I'm just going to go to overtime. They got a chance to win. I come back. Adam Vinatieri is lining up to kick a field goal.
53-yarder.
What happened? They got the ball at the 20. Wait a minute.
That's how I felt about the Vikings a week ago, dude.
That's how bad the defense was in the final 23 seconds of that game. I still, you know, I know you've got some sort of, what do you call it, man crush on Andrew Luck or whatever it is.
Yeah, he's a Stanford kid, so I'm always going to root for him.
You know, he was...
Because remember, last week it was Jacksonville. And I just want to clarify why I pointed out last week for the Minnesota Vikings.
What?
You know, they had taken the lead, and then Jacksonville scored. All this happened at the end, and then in overtime, Jacksonville, they handled Jacksonville.
Right.
But that was just... You know what? With the Minnesota Vikings, what does that tell you about them at the end of games? There's a loss of focus. You've got blown assignments and a loss of focus at the end of game. Yes, I have a man crush on Andrew Luck.
But, you know, I still don't think he was spectacular up until those final 2 20-yard passes at the end of the game. He completed back-to-back 20-yard passes to get them in field goal range.
Chris Ponder had a statistically better day than Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
He just happened to be on the losing end of the equation there for Mr. Ponder, and that's too bad.
Well,
because I think this Minnesota team is headed in the right direction with Christian there.
I think that that Andrew Luck and that offense need to certainly give their defense a little praise and shower their defense because the Colts defense certainly was able to keep Adrian Peterson in check. I didn't think they were going to be able to do that.
Right. But, you know, with these running backs these days, we don't know what to expect at all. Maybe we're in a brand new era and nobody gave us the memo, Stephen. I want to, again, cap tip Christian Ponder. I think that the team is clearly going the right direction. They've got to clean up the stability of the defense. For Andrew Luck, though, Stephen, did you see the interview? Troy Aikman did a short interview where he talked about Andrew Luck. And he talked about his first season as a Cowboy where they went, what, 0-16, 1-15. He says he is certain that he would not have become a Hall of Fame quarterback if it were not for that first season of adversity, if he had not taken every snap.
I agree with that.
That's a stunning admission of basically, I don't know if it's humility that you need or just getting the work in. I don't know what it is about just getting your butt handed to you week after week, but that's what Andrew Luck to me is doing, and he's a little better every week, and who knows, by the end of the season, he might be good. And I hope so, because we all want the Colts to come back and to relive some glory days.
Now, we all is a huge overstatement.
Okay, not everybody in the
23-20 final score, Colts win at the end. Got to give it to Adam Vinatieri, you will like Kostaki Economopoulos' joke that he's got.
I can't
there.
Wait to hear it. So the Oakland Raiders go 3,000 miles to play in the freaking sauna of Miami. And you know what? They look like they're playing in the freaking sauna of Miami. They looked gassed. They looked jet-lagged. They looked hungover. They looked like they've been out partying with Michael Turner.
I still have 0-16 watch. Except it's not for Oakland instead of Miami.
Oakland just looks bad.
Darren McFadden, last year, this guy before he got hurt was averaging 5.4 yards per rush. Dude, he's disappeared. He is a shade of himself. A shell of himself.
He's a frightened turtle.
Whatever it is of himself that he is, that's what he is.
A shadow.
He is just awful.
He's a shadow at high
and
noon.
I don't know if it's the Raiders offensive line or him not seeing the holes. It is just bad there.
It is very, very bad. Five rookie quarterbacks, Drew, starts in week one with only one. The Redskins RG3 winning week two was different.
Jeffrey, if I told you Carson Palmer's going to throw for 373 yards and Ryan Tannehill's only going to throw for 200, who do you think is going to win the game?
Well, first of all, I say if Palmer's throwing for 373, they're probably losing. Generally, when
not
a quarterback gets
–
not in this NFL, not in today's NFL, but generally when you win over 350, you were playing from behind, and that's why you're – and especially if it's Carson Palmer, because I don't believe in Carson Palmer.
The big difference, Oakland couldn't stop the run. Reggie Bush,
172 yards
and two touchdowns.
What the? Sam Hill, he's been saying for a long time that, quietly, by the way, if people give me a chance, I'll be there.
He added another 25 yards receiving. And I'll go one further, Jeff. At the beginning of the season, I don't know if you and I talked about this, but I know I kind of chuckled a little bit when I saw an interview of him saying he was going to be this year's rushing leader.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, on what team, dude? Because not on this team.
And
you need help.
You know, right now,
he's
in second.
Wow. If he's right, my gosh, could be amazing.
He's only about 40 yards behind C.J. Spiller.
111 yards receiving on 9 catches for Brian Turn on your Heartline.
Heartline. You know what?
Steven, do I have the ability to find guys like Danny Amendola this week prematurely that turn out to be pretty decent backs?
Prematurely. Like 3-4 years before.
before there's really great wide receivers. I've got an eye for good receivers.
Yeah, we'll get to Amendola. He broke some records.
But Brian Hartline, man, 9 catches, 111 yards, did not get in the end zone, but targeted 12 times. Clearly, if Reggie Bush can catch balls in the backfield and rush, Brian Hartline is good enough to get some things done along with Devon Best there. And this team can win. But Reggie Bush has to – he's the guy. Yeah, he's the machine.
He is the guy, but I'm just going to say everybody just calm down with the Miami Dolphins. It was the Oakland Raiders. I actually was hoodwinked thinking that the Oakland Raiders were going to be a decent football
team. That's because we like them.
Yeah, we do. And their defense looked pretty good in the beginning.
Yeah.
But, man, they could not tackle Reggie Bush.
They got Seabass, and they got Seabass and Leckler and Seabass.
They gave up almost 300 yards rushing in this game.
Well, that used to be, Steven, the reason I was so frustrated with Oakland last week was nobody could – you couldn't run on them.
Right.
I'm like, wow, if Oakland could stop the run, remember that their rating against the pass was horrible because you could run against them all day.
Once again, an illusion because the Chargers don't have anybody that runs the ball.
They may this week for a quarter.
Hopefully.
When Ryan Matthews comes back. What is it about your phone
final
today, bro?
Score every
Pete,
4 minutes.
Popular.
It tells me.
Oh, is that the move
that's
along?
That's the timer. That's the move along.
I thought your phone's actually ringing.
No,
I didn't know that was the move along.
Along. 35-13 Dolphins over the Raiders.
We are going to the Arizona 2-0 Cardinals at the New England Patriots.
Don't laugh.
What the Sam Hill's going on around here?
I am still not a believer. But anyways, they're 2-0. The defense looks good. But here's the thing. They handed the New England Patriots their first home opening loss since they moved to Gillette Stadium in 2002.
Okay, only their second home loss with Tom Brady since Tom Brady's been there.
Ever.
Ever.
Yeah.
Okay, that's like 13 years.
So if anybody outside of Arizona told me that they were going to take the Cardinals to win this game,
I would have bet you my car, and I like my car.
Yes.
I would have. And I still owe a lot of money on my car. I would have been without a car and with a big car payment. Bad. Bad situation. But that's how much friends
smacked Tom Brady.
Why is it dangerous to wager? Because like this happens.
Yes.
Does it not? Every week something.
38.2% of the people in my survivor
pool. Knocked out of Eliminator.
See you later.
Have a nice life. I'm still alive.
I was struggling because I had Cincinnati. And I'm like, oh, man, the Browns were coming back in that game.
And the Browns are coming.
But
the Browns.
When I saw this score and I saw fight it go final, I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's about 2,000 people knocked out of my survivor pool.
You didn't invite me into the survivor pool this year.
Oops.
Sorry. Oops, and it's kind of too late, isn't it?
It is. You got to start from the very beginning.
Oh, my gosh, Steven. I felt this loss in my life. Like, I'm missing something. Like, when you leave the house
and not
without
only,
your passport, you're like, I'm missing something.
I've got two entries in there, Jeffrey. Not only did I
get – I usually have two entries.
I got them both. So I had Cincinnati and San Diego this week. I'm very
Steven,
happy.
Just know, in Eliminator on ESPN,
yes,
I also have one pick going, and I'm also fine. I went the Texans. Then I went the Giants this week.
Last week I went with Houston, over Miami.
And the Giants, what did they do? They won by a touchdown. Yeah, it started scary.
Very scary.
But you know what? It ended up fine. And this week I
actually was cheering for them for those two because like there was like another 16% that had taken the Giants.
Yeah. No, the actual numbers of people last week, I'm going into week two here. New England Patriots, 38.4% in ESPN. That's a ton. Eliminated. Cincinnati Bengals next at 14%. Houston Texans at 11%.
Yeah.
And I always avoid the big hot ones unless I have no other choice. This week, I'm considering strongly.
It's a tough week.
It is a very tough week. That's why I want to get people thinking about it early. The Carolina Panthers at home on Thursday Night Football against New York. New York did not look good. Now they got a short week, and they're going to a very dynamic Carolina team. And Thursday Night Football, you got a huge advantage for the home team. So I'm leaning in. That's where my pick is right now.
Yes.
But it's a tough week. Most people are going with the Bears or the 49ers. This might be a safe week. This might be a week that you go with one of your sure things, like the 49ers or something, the best team in football. But the 49ers, they're on the road at the Vikings.
On the road.
I'm not. The Vikings, they couldn't beat my mom.
I try to never take a road team.
I try too. But sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. Just saying.
is all.
All right, so we were on to the Cardinals-Patriots, Stephen. What the heck? Why the face? What's going on?
Cardinals defense. And I think I've read, and I wish I could credit the person who said it, but that they talked to Wisenhunt, and he said, we just followed the New York Giants blueprint from the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Of getting after Tom
Brady.
And, man.
We'll stop talking about this game when I say so.
They got after Tom Brady. They sacked him four times. They hit him a number of times. It was the last time the New England Patriots only converted 30% of their third downs.
So I went back and watched the game again on NFL Rewind, on NFL Network, because I had seen it live, but I needed to see it again for Talk Sport last night. And what I saw was Tom Brady was afraid to hold the ball. He was handing it off constantly. Stephen Ridley to the right, Stephen Ridley to the left, Stephen Ridley up the middle. He was afraid to hold that ball because he does not trust his offensive line at all. Then when he would drop back to pass, he would beat Tom Brady and duck from the first guy that was going to take his head off, and they're covered downfield. And Tom Brady does not have the elusiveness to avoid the second guy that's coming after your head. And that's when he got sacked.
Well, the fact
you
of the matter is,
you can't win like that.
Look, the one thing, and we're going to get to the Cowboys in a minute as well. But Jeffrey, the one thing that I saw in this game, that I saw in the Cowboys game, there was just one team that was more physical than the other.
Yeah,
and the Arizona Cardinals were just more physical. They were more aggressive. They wanted it. Punted it in the mouth. And when the dude fumbled the ball, Ryan Williams fumbled the ball at the end of the game and gave the Patriots the ball right there. It was like, oh,
you
my God.
You should have heard Buffalo Wild Wings, because everybody's watching that game at that point.
Yeah.
And the gasp. Oh! People are horrified because everybody out here, let me tell you, hates the Patriots.
Yes.
And so, but
wouldn't you know it? It's like, oh, dude. I mean, that's
how bad
it was.
A day you're having. You're having so bad a day, they give you a second chance. Shake a pot of us.
The Patriots actually scored a touchdown. Gronkowski holding penalty. Yeah. And then Gronkowski.
We got to talk about the loss of Aaron Hernandez. Gronkowski misses left, but Aaron Hernandez out is going to be
lots
a huge
more
blow.
We could talk about this there game. Is. The fact that Wes Welker's only on the field for 62% of
He's
plays.
Pissed.
You know,
last
year he was in for 78% of the offensive
plays.
You know
who's in there more? Julian Edelman. Something is awry there. He's in the doghouse. He's in the doghouse.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's traded soon.
Me too. Now, Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the New York Football Giants.
Los Gigantes. You know what? I'm gonna once again, here I am, giving people some applause. You start out this game. And you throw three interceptions.
No, that was Peyton. I saw that.
No, that was also Eli.
I know. Yeah,
both the Manning brothers. And
I
Eli
kept reassuring that he just wants to make his little brother feel better.
Yeah, that's what I –
And he almost gave
had
if there
given
was,
him the ball.
If there was 45 more seconds left, trust me.
Yeah.
I'd be like telling everybody, I've seen this movie so many times.
Yes.
Okay, back to Eli.
Anyways, back to Eli. The fact that he was able to come back, throw for 510 yards, 74% of those yards, two players. Victor Cruz. 179 and Hakeem Nicks with 199 yards. Okay, so between those two guys,
they just worked it. 74%. It's like your turn, ping pong ball back and forth.
You know,
and I don't know why.
All anybody wants to talk about is how this game ended with the kneel down, but there was a lot.
Oh, that's crap.
Greg
Schiano will be talked to, and it will not happen again.
It's not that he'll be talked to, that's his style of coaching.
It will change because he wants to be in the fraternity.
Somebody needs to tell Tom Coughlin, you have your style of coaching. Okay, for a long time, players complained about it, but you eventually beat them down, and they now like your style of coaching.
Greg Schiano is a
other coaches
is
have
a
their
Mustang,
own style.
Is a maverick out
Enough
here
with the cars?
No, I actually was thinking of horses. Thank you.
Okay,
a maverick. He's out here as this lone wolf who's going to change the league and bring us back to the old days where guys played through and just didn't do kneel downs at the end, and guys are going to get hurt, including on his team when the game is already in hand.
It wasn't in hand. It was a 7-point game.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was there was.
I am not going to take Coughlin's side on this or anybody else's side.
Well, don't worry, nobody else is on your side.
Like Mike, really? I got Mike Ditka. I got Ron Jaworski. I got Herm Edwards. I got a lot of people on my side,
and they're all old.
It does not matter. You are on the football field. You are going to snap the ball. You better expect to play.
Yeah, you just dated yourself there calling out that cast of characters. Tony Dungy, what did he say? See, Tony Dungy is on the younger side of things.
I don't know what Tony Dungy said.
He said that it was a colossal embarrassment to the unwritten codes of the National Football League.
Well, somebody has to give me the unwritten codes because I don't know them.
You know the unwritten rules, Stephen. And they change and they're dynamic and they're fluid, but right. but we know what they are and we know them, especially when they're broken. Is when we know them.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers did nothing wrong.
No, not according to the rules.
There you go. Then that's all I care about. What are the rules? They did nothing wrong.
And
that's his coaching style. And you got to let him coach. He's not telling you how to coach your football team.
I don't have
you
a coach your. Team.
I'm talking about the
I don't
Tom
have
Coughlin.
One.
I'm talking to Tom Coughlin
I want
right
one.
Now. Tom Coughlin, you coach your football team the way you want to. Shiano will coach his football team the way he wants to. Was it wrong? Maybe it was. But it's his prerogative. You do not have the right to tell another coach how he's going to coach his football team.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that it's his prerogative right. Because as long as the rules are what the rules are,
right.
it is your prerogative. But you also need to realize you're going to look a little a-hole-ish in the minds of many.
And Tom Coughlin's never looked a little a-hole-ish in the minds of many?
To me, only 7 or 8 times over the last 8 years.
Okay, there you go. The final score, give it up to the New York Giants for coming back in a game they had no business winning. 25 points scored in the fourth
What's
quarter.
What's going to happen to Tampa Bay, Steven?
41-34. I think that game
yeah.
maybe sparks them a little bit.
I hope so.
I think it sparks them a little bit.
Oh, I'm really...
I don't expect to see... A 25-point fourth quarter from an opposing team of the Bucs.
Very stoked that Vincent Jackson got in the end zone in that game. Just wish it had been more than once. Mike Williams was looking good, too.
They've
got to get it together.
The Baltimore Ravens travel to Philadelphia to face the Eagles. And
this was the most dumbest wager line of the day. And we told you.
We won it.
If you went and followed our advice, you are wealthier today.
Well, you're 2-0. We're 2-0 this year.
We are 2-0 with our most dumbest wager line of the day. Am I stunned that I lost my pick? That the Ravens didn't win this game? Yes, I am stunned. Yes, I am. But am I surprised that the Eagles couldn't cover a 2.5-point line? No, I'm not. Because they had no business being in this game.
Yeah, the Baltimore Ravens... took the lead, and they, to me, I think, for the first time in a long time, the Ravens eased up on the pedal. They didn't go for the jugular.
Well, I hope
they
it
didn't
hurts.
Go for the kill.
I hope it leaves an indelible impression on that team.
It came back to bite them in the butt. I just want to know, you know, how long before all of these turnovers finally start to bite the Philadelphia Eagles in the butt.
How long? Week from Thursday? I don't know for sure, but I think you're right. I think the Eagles...
You can't keep giving the ball over.
To the other team. Can't keep giving people extra chances. Especially when you're playing teams that, I'm going to say it, are better than you.
Yeah.
You generally can't escape that kind of trouble of your own making.
Yeah.
And you've got to... I don't know what's going on here. I look... You know what, Steven? It's like every week I look more forward to the next week's games because of what just happened. I'm like, let's get on with the next series because I got to figure out if I'm watching something and I got to see if that something is real.
I'm watching something.
I am! And is it real or is it an illusion? I got to see another game.
4 turnovers, 2 picks by Vic, 2 fumbles, and yet they still, once again, manage a 1-point
win. The Eagles
are
2-0! How have they done? They're the first team ever to have won their first 2 games by a point.
El Mágico. Pulling the rabbit
I'm Mr.
out
Magic.
Of the hat. 24-23, the final there. The Baltimore Ravens need to go back to that mentality of, we're just going to finish you. We're going to finish you, and we're going to pound you.
I saw Ed Reed before the game doing his little dance, and we're going to go out and smash people in the mouth, and we're going to dominate
that's
today.
Trey Lewis.
Whatever. Yeah, we're going to go out and do that, because that's who we are. And
defense wins championships.
With what
defense.
We got today.
With what we're trying to do and where we're trying to go. We dominate.
All right. Well, their defense should have dominated, and they did.
I was disappointed as all get out. I've got them now losing in the Super Bowl, just to be clear. Okay? They still get there, but they lose.
You're a boob.
I got a Harbaugh Bowl, I'm thinking now.
Well, they would lose to San Francisco?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I got going right now.
What happened to Atlanta?
Atlanta, look, they're still in there. Atlanta's 2-0, dude.
I know, but
they're doing fine. But the 49ers just keep growing on me like a weed.
Oh, they're growing on Jeffrey.
All right, the Saints and Panthers we handled. The Texans at the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Gabber, 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 Gabber.
Gabber!
Gabber, Gabber, Gabber,
Gabber.
Gabber was awful. He left the game with a hamstring injury, but before he left, dude had 53 yards on 7 completions.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Blaine Gabbert. That's all we can give you, dude. Sorry.
Look, offensively they look bad. Defensively look bad. Once again, how many times can the Houston Texans, you know, take a big lead and then just put cruise control on?
And piece it away. Piece it away.
I'm going to ask you this question. Is the fact that the Houston Texans go to cruise control so early maybe going to affect them later on down the line?
Not if they rectify the situation quickly. So if they get a handle on this next week, if they make those adjustments. And again, I put the onus on Wade Phillips and more than Gary Kubiak to make sure that they keep the spirit of this team going. But let me tell you, for the Texans to be 2-0 and playing this poorly is something interesting, because I've got them clearly in the playoffs. You've got them in the playoffs.
I've got them.
You got them in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And so they have got to fix what ails them right now. And Matt Schaub, you are a far better quarterback than you're playing. Your entire offense is exponentially better than you're playing. You should be embarrassed at only getting 27 points.
On this Jacksonville Jaguar team.
I don't care that it's a divisional game. You know, they always play each other really tough.
Are people going to start clamoring for Chad Henne?
Never. Never. So you guys beat Miami. Okay, great.
I sort of insinuated that this week, and people were like, oh, God, please tell me it's not true.
Okay, this was tough, and I wish we had time for it, but Mike Graham wanted to know how many more interceptions Peyton would have to throw before he was pulled from the game.
From a single game?
Yeah. From the game we were watching. And I had to explain to him how the NFL works, that would never happen.
Yeah.
You're Peyton freaking Manning. Nobody pulls you from a game. And that's a whole other thing, but it was a very fascinating discussion.
All right, the final here, 27-7. The outcome was never in question. The Jacksonville Jaguars, yes, folks, they are bad.
But they're not that bad.
They're bad.
But they're bad.
The Washington Redskins travel to St. Louis, and this is the classic game of, boy, these replacement officials are bad.
For the afternoon games, you needed more evidence, Stephen. You needed further evidence.
They are bad.
They're going awful. And when I don't know, and I was trying to, again, explain this last night on Talk Sport Radio. It was, I don't know. I don't know enough to be an officiating expert at all. But we all know the kinds of calls that we see officials miss frequently. What we're seeing now is officials missing calls that we're accustomed to seeing called. So, yeah, you can say that, well, there's always missed calls, but not these calls.
Not these calls.
Because as fans, we're trained to see the game through the officials' eyes.
And not marking penalties off incorrectly.
Not just getting things wrong.
Just.
No,
everything that we
the
take,
rules.
Here's what you're trying to say. The regular officials, yes. Did they make mistakes? Yes, they did.
All the time.
But not these mistakes.
Exactly.
Not the simple every down. This penalty should be marked off as 5 yards instead of 10. This penalty is a 15-yarder. This penalty needs to be called. I need to get control of this football game and
I
stop
need to
letting
make sure
all
there's
of
no
this
more fighting.
Chippiness after every play.
Chippiness became fighting, Steven.
Exactly, after every play.
And you keep your flag in your pocket? And you don't eject people?
This is the
insane asylum where the inmates are running it.
Yeah. Well, back to that Raven-Eagles game, there was a pass interference call that was called on the offense that negated that would have been a go-ahead touchdown for Baltimore. And Joe Flacco, after the game, was livid.
Yes, he was.
And
he'll probably get fined. And
he doesn't care.
If I'm the players, here's how I control this. Here's how I manage this. I go into my next press conference with a checkbook. And I write a check for $50,000 made out to the Children's Foundation of America. And I put it on the podium. I tape it to the podium. And I go, these officials blow. We have to get the real ones back in here now. This is a farce.
Well, it
any
is.
Questions?
And in this game.
Because the league will fine you for
in
that.
In this game, Redskins at Rams. Mike Shanahan at the end of the game say.
He was hot.
It was awful.
I've never seen Shanny this upset.
There was a hit on Fred Davis, the tight end, defenseless receiver, got leveled helmet to helmet. Refs just looked like.
Have you ever seen Shanny this hot? And we've seen him for decades.
He's been hot like this before, but
I thought his face was going to turn a new shade of purple.
The lack of calls for unsportsmanlike conduct in this game
led
Josh Morgan at the end of the game. To throw the football at Cortland Finnegan.
I hate Cortland Finnegan. Yeah, I hate him.
That's what
he
does.
He's a punk.
That's what he does.
Cortland Finnegan, you're a punk. Okay. If I see you on the streets, I'm going to throw a football at you.
Well, Josh Morgan did.
I know.
And it cost
and you know
his
what?
Football team.
He did it, and I screamed at the TV, but I understood.
It cost his football team.
I understood, though. That's the difference. Because Josh Morgan took a lot of crap about this. But do you know what a punk? There's no bigger punk in the NFL than Cortland Finnegan.
We know who Cortland Finnegan is.
What an ass. I hate him.
But the fact is, you have to know the situation.
You have to be professional. And
know
that's the bottom
situation.
Line. He's baiting you because he's a punk.
A 7-yard pass.
We're in field goal range.
We are now in field goal range.
Yeah.
My guy gets to kick a 42-yarder. Oh, no. I throw this football. Now it's a 62-yarder. 47 makeable? 62? Not so much. Only a handful of guys have ever made a kick that long.
Look, Josh, if you don't throw that ball, I win this pick. Okay. But that has nothing to do with it. That's
well,
how
we
much,
don't know.
No, it would have been tied.
It would have been tied, and we
look.
Don't,
okay,
listen, still.
Steven, you're Jeff Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we love Fish. We think the world of him. We admire him.
Yes,
he has Cortland Finnegan on this team. Why? Because he had him in Tennessee.
For a reason. He had him in Tennessee. He brought him over from.
He knows he's making well more than most guys at his position. About $2.75 million.
Yeah.
A year. So he's making more than most people. As a corner. Why?
Because
he
Fisher
makes
knows.
Like this happen.
Yes.
And now you're Jeff Fisher. Are you proud of yourself? Or do you just go, that was a smart move on my part. But are you proud of yourself?
I think he likes the player. I think he likes the player and what the player brings to the field.
What the player brings to the field is he brings people out of their game, throwing haymaker punches and getting ejected.
Well, there's players like that in all sports.
There is. They're called enforcers in hockey.
Yes.
You know what? They are.
Dennis
they play
Rodman,
first base for the Chicago
like
White Sox.
Yep, and Dennis Rodman was like that for the Bulls.
They're catchers for the Chicago White Sox. And you know what? I hate them. I hate punks. There's one that plays on the Galaxy right now.
Yeah.
He is a punk. He is out there begging for guys to get in a fight with him. He's like, every time there's nobody looking, he's pulling down people's shorts.
But,
he's doing juvenile activities just to get a fight.
But you got to be smarter than that.
You can't take the bait.
You can't
fall for the banana in the tailpipe.
You can't. And that's what Morgan did.
He fell for the banana in the tailpipe.
You know, Cortland Finnegan put the banana in the tailpipe. And Morgan fell for it and threw the ball at him.
Jeez
and cost his team a chance to tie the game.
Yes, they did. Cowboys 31-28.
St. Louis Rams win the game.
Cowboys Seahawks. Nobody watched this game closer than Steven Miranda as he blogs his brains out for Bleacher Report. So, Steven, I have not gone to see this game in ISO yet because I wanted to talk to you first.
Well, it was – look, by the time you blinked –
It was 10-0.
It was 10-0.
Yeah, no, that part I remember really well.
Let me explain to you how that happened.
I saw that.
Felix Jones fumbles the opening kickoff. The opening kickoff!
What has Tony Romo done wrong so far to redeem himself in Seattle? Oh, he hasn't been on the field yet.
So you give the... Fortunately, the defense comes out. It does its job. It holds Seattle to 3 points, 3-0. Then the offense comes out on the field. They go 3-and-out. And Chris Jones, who's trying this new... I'm going to try a angled punt, a directional punt, something I've never done before, but my coaches want me to do it, so I'm going to try it. Mm. And his directional punt goes right at the direction the rush is coming from.
That's a direction.
It gets blocked. It's returned for a touchdown. 10-0. Now, I'm sorry. I don't care who you are. You go into probably one of the most hostile environments in the world.
Yep.
For opposing teams.
And you know what you do? You give them all Red Bulls. Here, guys, we're passing out Red Bulls.
What the Cowboys did was the equivalent of walking up to a hornet's nest and drop kicking it.
No.
And then standing there.
What are the hornets from Hunger Games?
Oh, the Jacker Trackers?
The Tracker Jackers.
Tracker Jackers?
Tracker Jacker. You just unloaded a Tracker Jacker nest.
Yes. And you have to stay there and finish playing the
game.
Yeah,
by the way, don't leave because you have work to do.
Yeah.
I was so disappointed for America's team.
I looked for
Russell.
I looked at Trisha and I said, it was 10-0. And she looked at me and I said, this game is over.
Yeah. And Didi just kept saying, wow, and you could have been there. Aren't you glad you weren't there? I'm like, you know what? Still, no. I like being in games a lot.
Yeah.
So, Doc Rob, we're very sorry. We thank you again for the very kind invitation.
Yeah, Doc Rob, man, don't text me when my team is losing like that, dog.
And when he invites us for a nice weekend up in Bellingham, he can text you whenever he wants.
Yes, he can.
Thank you. 27-7, the Seahawks put a thumping on America's team.
It was a flat-out spankage. It was.
Absolutely.
It was. And, you know, and once again, the Seattle Seahawks were more physical, more aggressive, and out-hustled the Cowboys. And they were out-coached, man. Jason Garrett made zero
adjustments
in the second half. And therefore, the Cowboys didn't score anything in the second half.
That's what you need to do when you're getting your butt handed to you. Because they went into halftime with it game in reach as it was 13-7
That's
at halftime.
Right.
This game was still yours, despite all the bad stuff
With as much as everything that went wrong in the first half, they were still only down 6 points.
All righty. Now, the Jets at the Steelers.
Why did I change this pick?
I don't know, Steven.
I'll tell you why. No Polamalu, no James Harrison.
Oh,
I said to myself.
The pieces that are missing will be in the Hall of Fame, okay?
I think Mark Sanchez does this. And they scored on their opening offensive possession.
Dude, they look like they hadn't missed a beat from last week.
This Jets
Sanchez,
team.
Boom! Sanchez, boom! You're like, wow. This is, you know what? That whole preseason was a farce.
And you know what it was? Cockiness.
Cockiness, really?
And arrogance. Hey, arrogance can be a weakness if you let it get to the point where you just think you're king of the world.
Yeah.
And then what happens? The Pittsburgh Steelers smack you upside the head a little bit.
Remind you who you are, sister.
You're the Jets. Okay?
J-E-T-S. Shut up.
And
when
there
Mark
you go.
Sanchez roamed outside of the pocket and got hit by Timmons in the second quarter, that's when the wheels came off the cart, if you ask me. The misfiring happened everywhere. Tim
rushed,
Tebow, congratulations, rushed for 26 yards, something like that.
Yeah.
It was a great rush. Great to see you out there and making – how would you like to make bank like that for working as little as he does?
22-yard.
That'd be pretty nice, wouldn't it?
Still no pass attempts for him.
No.
Kostaki, as you'll hear in a little bit, has lots to say.
What is his fetish with Tebow?
I don't know. Let's bring him in because he actually missed you, Jeff.
He should.
As your. All right, with me right now is Funny Man, the biggest name in comedy, Kostaki Economopoulos. What's up, Kostaki?
Hey, man. I'm very excited about my Falcons' big win on national TV against a very good team in arm and neck, apparently. I got to tell you, though, I was worried. At the end of the first quarter, the Falcons had gotten 4 turnovers, and they had only turned that into 10 points. Nobody's done so little with so much since Generation X. So I'm glad they were able to put it together and get it in order.
Hey, man, I'm Generation X, man. What's up,
man? Me too. Fair dig at us. No, that's true.
Yeah, I know. So you're from Atlanta, right? So you're a big Falcon fan?
Yeah, I actually had a bunch of friends over. We watched on the big screen in the common space in my building, and it was great fun. I had a few beers, and I loved it.
It got a little scary there at the end, though, right? With Peyton Manning.
It did.
Yeah.
It did get scary at the end. But actually, it was never really that close. It got within 6, but it was, you know, they weren't within six. You know, the Falcons handled it. I thought they looked good.
It was a fake 6. Well, we're loving the jokes, the football jokes you're providing for us. So let's get to it. What else have you got for us today?
All right, we got the other big night game this weekend, Niners-Lions. Stafford said they just couldn't score when they had the chance. That sounds like my 20s. In retrospect, I think I left a lot of touchdowns on the table. I want a do-over.
Sounds like my 20s and part of my 30s, too.
Right. Actually, sounds like high school, sounds like college, sounds like my early 40s.
Oh, gosh.
The Giants' Eli Manning, that's all the buzz here. He had 510 yards passing. Somebody explain to Tim Tebow that was one game. That's possible. 510 yards. That's further than Captain Sullenberger flew that day. That's a lot of time in the air. So then the big buzz was that crazy kneel-down play. Tampa tried to tackle Eli, and then the Tampa coach said, well, if you watch Rutgers tape, you'd know that we do that. We play the final whistle. Nobody watches Rutgers tape. What are you talking about?
People at Rutgers don't even watch Rutgers tape.
No. I mean, maybe you watch the lacrosse team from Rutgers.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Tampa should tackle Tebow when he kneels down. That way he'll feel like he's in a game once in a while. He is not playing much. He barely played again. Some people are saying if he doesn't get on the field enough, Tebow will force a trade in the offseason and be one and done with the Jets. Actually, one and done is way better than his current passing stat line. He would love one and done. Joe Namath said he doesn't think Tebow has the accuracy to be an NFL quarterback. Plus, Tebow's a virgin, so according to Namath, this guy's an amateur on many levels. True.
Yeah.
Because of his agreement with the Cowboys, Dez Bryant, not allowed to get drunk, stay out late, or go to strip clubs. Apparently the agreement was that he get married. Is that what happened to him?
Oh, boom.
No more fun, young man. Stay
yes,
off.
Get married. That takes care of all those things.
Cowboys defensive coordinator Rob Ryan admitted he once ate $70 worth of candy in 1 week. So the Cowboys are susceptible to the run and diabetes.
Oh.
By the way, you know Michael Irvin spent way more than $70 a week on his candy back in the day. That was a much bigger number.
Yeah, plus it was white candy, right? Back then, that was Mike.
I went to the Colts game this week. It was awesome. I went with some friends who had really fancy pants tickets. We sat on the 50 at the club level. It was amazing. The Vikings got so many penalties. Technically, I think they lost a game of flag football. It was not good. Vinatieri kicked the game winner with 8 seconds left to beat the Vikings. This guy is so clutch. Ford is putting him in their new F-150. That's clutch.
It is. Vinatieri is your clutch now.
The Bears looked awful. Cutler got so upset at one point he dropped an F-bomb on one of his linemen. It was the only bomb he completed all day.
No, he was ugly.
I've never done this before. I'm going to read a joke sent to me by a listener.
Oh, my God. Let's try it out here. Go for it.
You ready for that? Yeah. Let me be the closer. Paul Cooper sent me this. I live in the Toledo area and was wondering if you heard about Toledo being in talks with the NFL. The NFL said no because if Toledo got a team, then Cleveland and Cincinnati would want teams too.
Ouch.
See what he did there?
Yeah, that's...
Taking a shot at his Ohio boys?
Yes. Well, you know, in the Battle of Ohio, it was pretty good. Cincinnati sneaked out a 7-point win over Cleveland this week. So, yeah, shots there taken at Browns and Bengals alike. Once again, Kostaki Economopoulos, thanks for coming on, man. That's good stuff. I know that Jeff, wherever he is running around this morning, is sad that he missed this segment.
His funny bone is burning. Play it for him. He'll enjoy. Tell Jeff I miss him.
All right, bud. Thanks for coming on. That was Kostaki Economopoulos. We'll see you next week, Kostaki.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, that was Kostaki. See, he threw a shout out there for you at the end.
He should. I'll just say what I said before. He should.
Was your funny bone tingling, like you said?
It's not, Steven. I've got this shoulder problem that may be a rotator cuff.
Yes.
So it's really hard for me to know when my funny bone is actually going and when my shoulder is actually flaring up on me.
All right, we're way late. We have not paid attention to the clock.
What happened here? I'm going to run a clock.
You kept yelling at me that it was annoying you. You thought people were calling me, so I stopped it.
Once you told me what it was, I said it was great.
Final three games. Tennessee
Titans. And Chargers.
Here's the deal, Jeffrey.
Wow.
This was Chris Johnson made my ugly, okay?
Chris Johnson,
let me tell you
if
why.
You had perfect teeth, you'd be ugly.
And this is what I
because
told
of how you play.
My good, bad, and the ugly is. So in the so I say, remember when Chris Johnson wanted to rush for 2,000 yards? He'll be lucky and if he gets 200, because that's right now what he's on pace for. In his two games, if this pace continues, he will rush for 168 yards.
That's stunning. Neither of us think he's going to do that. However.
But that's what is projected out if he continues to run
the way he's running. He starts running his mouth instead of his legs.
Yes, exactly.
And he's throwing teammates under the bus. Brother, you are not helping.
No, you're not.
And
you are
at what point do you
part of the problem and not the solution?
You may be the problem, if you ask me.
How about Dante Rosario, dog? He comes in, he replaces future Hall of Famer Antonio Gates.
Yeah.
Boom, one, boom, two, boom, three. Count him.
Hat-trick.
Touchdown. Me, Dante Rosario. I am. Look at me.
Rosario. Rosario.
You know what? I knew San Diego was going to win. I'm very happy that I had them as
we
my
didn't
other.
We know how.
Well, you know what?
That's Phillip the beauty Rivers. Of the Chargers. We don't know.
Phillip Rivers said, you know what? It's on me. I don't care who I got. I don't care who I got to throw to, but I'm going to throw it.
Got a random stat for you.
Yeah.
North Turner, never been 2-0. Did you know that?
Never?
Wow. North Turner, never been 2-0.
Well, that's
weird.
That is pretty weird.
Okay, let's get on to 10. Sunday Night Football. The handshake that was all for naught. They shook hands before the game and laughed, as I predicted.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the game, they shook hands. And you know what? This 49ers team, holy crap, are they good.
Are you allowed to say that?
27-19. Yeah, you know what? They beat the spread by
Stop
a point.
Stop showing me that the handshake from last year.
Yeah, we really don't care, friends. Yeah. It was a much – you know the thing I love about that, though? Is
here's the PR?
No, you're thinking of Bob.
Yeah, Bob Lang.
So when you guys go look up the YouTube video again of the handshake, there is a shorter man with a full brown beard that's not very tall. Did I say he's shorter? And he's not very tall. And he's wearing a nice suit.
Yes.
And he is stuck in the middle of this, much to his own doing. He's running and. That is the PR director of the 49ers, a friend of ours, and he's a funny guy. You have not noticed Bob is the most central. If you weren't watching the coaches, you would have to watch Bob. He's the center of this thing.
And then he starts.
I know.
He starts pushing.
He's
Harbaugh.
Pushing Jim Schwartz.
No, he's pushing Harbaugh now. Trying to get him.
Come on, just go. Go to the tunnel. Go to the tunnel. The PR guy.
Because he's thinking. I can just see he's thinking.
I can fix this.
His wheels are like, man, how am I going to spin this?
Yeah.
How am I spin
that's
this?
Why I'm going to fix it. I got to fix this. He's a PR. This was a PR director's nightmare.
I love it. But anyways, you're right. They went. They joked around a little bit. They shook their hands.
Alex
27-19. Hey, you know what? These 49ers are for real. I don't know what happened
last year.
But whatever took place last season. With Harbaugh and the San Francisco 49ers.
It's stuck.
It has
it's grown.
got rooted down, and it's sprouting, and this team's just getting more confident. But look, in back-to-back weeks, they beat two playoff teams from a year ago.
Yeah.
Green Bay and Green Bay, now Detroit at home.
By the way, guys, we still have in the playoffs for this year.
Right.
Do you think Green Bay's not going to be in the playoffs?
Oh, I think they will.
Do you think Detroit's going to be in the playoffs?
I think they will.
See, we still think they're going to be in the playoffs, and they've beaten them.
Already.
All right? When you are beating playoff teams with regularity, you are probably the best team. They will remain gold. The Broncos at Atlanta.
Will they remain gold? Will they remain the lone gold?
No one else is crawling up there. Atlanta will be number two.
Wow, Atlanta's not worthy. I'll tell
you that. Houston will be knocking at the door, but they've got things to work on, Steven. This Texans team, this Chargers team.
You are just
you want to strangle me. Fine, be violent.
Just let somebody up there in the gold. It's not just one team.
This is the team I think would win it all right now.
Okay.
And they would win it all right now. So there you go. Let's talk about the other Manning's bad night.
Yes.
Oh, wow. 4 hours.
Monday Night Football.
4 hours.
I don't know if you... Yeah, it was...
4 hours.
Is that how long the game took?
No, it was 3:25 or something.
Okay, yeah.
But I was on radio for 4 hours doing updates about this game.
Well, not like constantly for 4 hours.
No, but a lot. Multiple times an hour.
Yeah.
And the longest was probably 35, 40 minutes. And it was, to me, it still was a really fun game.
Yeah.
It was a really fun game. Yes, it didn't turn out as I thought. Yes, Steven is the smartest man alive.
Thank you.
I know that. I know that for this week. Mike loved the notion of the challenge game. He hadn't heard that.
Yeah. Is that why Ollie tweeted out what one of my punishments should be?
Yes. And
I'm going to get you, Ollie. I'm going to get you, dog. Don't be giving Jeff ideas.
So the producer of Extra Time Overnight with Mike Graham is a man who really didn't care much about the NFL before this season, and he is now all in with the NFL. Yeah. He's reading Peter King's column.
I am the smartest man alive!
And he's asking really good questions, and congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much. I needed it. You know,
You did. You've been on a bad run.
If I started 0-2.
Dude, I was almost... Like, I don't know how I'm going to handle this because I want to gloat, and I should have the right to gloat,
yeah.
But I won't because it's not nice, and Steven might get his feelings hurt.
1-1.
It's 1-1. But, man, this could have gone the other way. Yeah. It really could have. You give Peyton another 45 seconds.
In your defense, when they scored and made it a six-point game and there was 3:30 left on the clock, I said, oh, my God.
I've read this book.
If the defense comes out and gives Manning the ball, Manning is going
to
win this game.
I got to take my hat off to the Atlanta Falcon. Who was it that made that first down? That lunge for that extra 3 yards.
Julio Jones.
Just lunge for that final 3 yards to get that first down. That pretty much sealed it. Peyton, here's how it went. Peyton was on the headset and with photographs out on his lap.
Yeah.
Second that first down, that went to the side and a towel came out. And like he was dabbing a tear. Didn't it seem like he was dabbing?
I know
he wasn't.
I know,
but
that
he was wiping his eyes.
He felt, and this quote
I've not seen his press conference yet. Yeah, I've got it recorded.
His quote was basically, "I put my team in too far a hole."
Oh hell yeah!
And I can't do that anymore.
And the thing I promised was that Peyton will stand there and take as many questions because he's the man.
He is.
And I love him.
Gotta give it up to the Atlanta Falcons. I am starting to
like this team a lot.
You
see why I've got him in the Super Bowl, don't you?
I see that.
Yeah. I don't know that they do. I don't know that they could beat San Francisco. But they're pretty dang good.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
That's what we got for you, friends. Sorry it was so long.
Well, we're going to blame this one on Jeff. I'm going to keep the clock next time.
Yeah, now that I know what it's for, keep it, for heaven's sake.
I'm Steven Miranda.
I'm Jeff Ellis.
We'd like to thank Kostocki for coming out on Tuesday like he will throughout the season.
We're out. Like that.
Again.
Oh, nice fade.